Kevin and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN _ Chicago.
-22-13, 6 wins in a row, the best run differential in baseball. The Chicago White Sox are rolling, Yurko, as they sweep the Twins after sweeping the Royals.
This is the show we're going to do, huh? Let's celebrate the Southside Hitmen. Is this what we're going to do today?
I was setting the table, but if you'd like to, we can discuss the Go-Go's, Belinda Carlisle, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which has clearly piqued your attention.
Well, Belinda Carlisle has always piqued my attention, especially in the 80s.
Heaven is a place on earth.
Yeah, it was in my dorm room.
Yes. It was in my dorm room.
Those eyes, man.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, they were absolutely striking back then. I saw a picture of the group, the fivesome, as they're going in now. Mm-hmm. Well, that's where late 30, early 40 surgeries don't age well once you get to be 50 and 60. That's when those decisions you make come back to haunt you at an age that's later on. But I do want to talk to White Sox. I do want to talk about the best team in baseball. I want to talk about the best manager in baseball, too, of course.
Okay.
The great Tony La Russa. I don't want to sidetrack you from your Southside love. Let's face it.
Yes.
Since 05.
Yes.
Really? Mm-hmm. And maybe 08. What was the year they had the blackout game?
08.
John Danks pitched that. 08. You've had 11 years of crap.
Yes.
Really, it's been 11 years of crap on the South Side. Hey? And finally, now you got a chance to, after last year, to throw your chest out there and to wear your White Sox stuff proudly. Great. Congratulations. Good for you guys. I'm happy you finally. You're like the cicada. The cicada comes out every 17 years. Now I'm seeing more White Sox stuff than I've ever seen in cadence, you know, in lockstep with the cicada showing itself for the first time in 17 years. The White Sox can finally come out of the roost.
They can
come out of their basements. They could come out of wherever they've been hiding for the last 17 years.
Cocoons.
Here we go. Now you're back. Yeah. Welcome back, White Sox fans. You're finally a pertinent club again.
And we absolutely will celebrate it. We'll celebrate it with Connor McKnight at 11 o'clock. He's going to join us. We'll ask him. Although, we were shooting this around, actually, in the IDOT bullpen. And by the way, IDOT wants to remind you, driving responsibly in construction and work zones really is a matter of life or death. Learn more online or through social media at lifeordeathillinois.com. Connor McKnight will join us at 11 o'clock. He, of course, handles pre and post for the vast majority of White Sox games here on ESPN 1000. He also has plenty of play-by-play that he's been doing because Len Casper's had some television duties to take care of. So Connor McKnight will join us at 11. And Yurko, we were tossing this around in the IDOT bullpen. Should we ask him about the White Sox, or should we just on the spot grill him and have him do play-by-play of movie scenes, famous movie scenes?
I think we should name the scene and put him on the spot to see if he can remember that scene.
Off the top of his head?
The top of his head.
We can start compiling lists. I think during the break we can...
Well, and we've got to be nice because Connor McKnight is not 75 years old.
This is true, yes.
We've got to go to his wheelhouse.
So let's do that. If you want to tweet us a movie scene that you would like us to throw at Connor McKnight on the spot and see what he can give us off the top of his head. Maybe we'll do that. We'll probably broach the White Sox with him just a bit as well.
A little bit, Yurko, of course.
Because they are the best team in baseball. And it led me to the question. Look, it is May 14th, and the expectations were high for the White Sox. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, especially after last year.
So I don't want to get ahead of myself, but on May 14th, I think it's undeniable when you have the best record in baseball and the best run differential, they've lived up to expectations to this point.
Yes, I confirm.
What's the last time something lived up to expectations for you?
The last time something lived up to expectations
for me. I'm going to go broad here. I'm talking about a movie, a television show. Maybe it was a meal at a restaurant that you hadn't been to.
I've got one for you right off the bat because people told me it was good and I didn't realize how good it was.
Okay.
Ozarks.
There you go.
Ozarks.
Netflix. Ozark.
Ozark. Ozarks. Ozark. Either way. Everybody told me it was good. It was good. I watched it first thing and that body dropped to the ground and I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yes.
You've got to be kidding me. What is happening here? I mean, that is a first episode of a show that comes out and it slams you in the face.
Intense.
It punches you right away. There ain't no sleeping on the first episode of Ozark. So I'd have to say that that outdid the expectations that were set for me.
Jason Bateman and Laura Linney on the Netflix show Ozark.
You know what got it for me? Cobra Kai.
Really? Now,
not for me.
I have not watched Cobra Kai.
Carm came in one day and was talking about it, and I'm like, Carm, that looks so stupid. He's like, Merc, they're like, each episode is like 23 minutes.
Yep.
He's like, you're going to laugh your you-know-what off, and he goes, and then you're going to...
I tried Cobra Kai.
Oh, I couldn't get enough of it.
Couldn't do it.
Couldn't get enough
of it. Yeah, well, they did it for you, though.
That's
the question. Right. What did it for you?
Right. So I'm just curious, fans out there, 312-332-3776, what's the last time something lived up to expectations for you? Whatever it is, because maybe it's a television show, maybe it's a movie, maybe it's a sports team. JR, for you, what's the last time something lived up to expectations?
I said Chris Bryant. They drafted him high. He was the one that came up in through the system, led the team to the title, rookie of the year, MVP. He was everything
World
that they
Series.
Said he was going to be. Yeah,
World
I mean,
Series.
Yeah, led him to a title, yes.
Right.
So, and that follow-up question then. So Chris Bryant arrived prior to them winning the World Series. They're kind of lumped together in some ways. Did you, for you, a longtime suffering Cubs fan, did winning the World Series, and you too, Yurko, did actually winning the World Series live up to the expectations for you?
I was emotional.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was emotional for me. Having been there, being in Cleveland, it was emotional. I got interviewed by a TV station out there.
In Cleveland?
In Cleveland. I had my T-shirt on, you know, the motto of the year. I forget what it is now. I have the T-shirt put away because it doesn't fit comfortably anymore.
Try not to suck was
right.
that?
It could have been that one.
Yeah.
Or it had the glasses, you know, or whatever
sure,
it
Joe
was.
Madden's,
either
yeah.
way. They interviewed me and they asked me. I said, yeah, listen, I said, my brother's a Cubs fan. My dad's a Cubs fan. We're all Cubs fans. We all watch. We're kids. And I was just like, finally. Then at 3 a.m. when Tom Ricketts came back to the hotel, we were still in the lobby celebrating. And it was just a sense of relief, you know,
yes.
over the course of time. Did it live up to it? Yes, because you won. But it was just such a sense of relief that finally it's over. No more 1908. You take that and you throw that in the garbage. Now in 2100, they'll be talking about, 2016. It's been 2016. It's been such a long time.
So you got another 84-year drought on the horizon?
We got another drought on the horizon, guys.
So that's the question today at 312-332-3776.
You know who is the ultimate that lived up to the hype? I mean, there's no one even close to it. Actually, there's two guys.
LeBron
and Tiger.
I, you know what? That's a great point, Merc, because
LeBron and Tiger. I mean, there's
actual hype about LeBron.
Yes,
you know?
He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated as the next great thing, and he's even better than what he turned.
Absolutely,
and Tiger, the same thing. He was supposed to be this. He was on
Griffin show.
No, it was Mike Wallace show.
Dinah Shore
or whatever it was. No, it wasn't. What show was it? Was it Merv Griffin?
Griffin.
He was putting as a 2-year-old. Are you
yeah,
talking?
Yeah, yeah. And, but everyone talked about how great he was going to be, and he's. He's the second greatest golfer of all time. So
no, LeBron's a great one. LeBron was his ESPN started broadcasting high school basketball games because of the hype surrounding LeBron James. And I think in 2021 now, it's undeniable that he has lived up to whatever expectations you could have had for him. I mean, even if you thought, is he going to be the best player ever? He's come about as close as you possibly can without actually getting there. So that's a great one as well. So that's the question, 312-332-3776. What is something that actually, in lieu of what the Sox are doing right now on May 14th with the best record in baseball, what is something that actually lived up to the expectations for you? This is Carmen and Yurko. I'm Meller sitting in for Carmen, who's hanging out with a trip to New Orleans. We'll
get an update from him.
No, we don't want to bother him.
No, don't bother him. That's Sylvie's shtick.
Sylvie does. Wake him up in the hotel and
wake
see
you up
if
at
he,
3 a.m.
Merc, you can do that. You can call him and see if he's awake, and we'll ask him how New Orleans is going. But Meller sitting in for Carm today. Plenty of your calls. Also, we'll check in with Connor McKnight and Yurk. The rookies are headed to Bears minicamp, so we'll chat a little bit about that and have a Justin Fields question as well. Plenty to do right here on Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
Stream ESPN 1000 anytime through the ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
is the home of the best team in baseball as we speak. On May 14th, ESPN 1000, the White Sox have a split doubleheader today. First game gets going with a first pitch at 2:10, but of course we will have your pregame coverage starting at 1:30 today. And of course, the second game will occur tonight at 7:10. Yurko, we have two games, seven innings apiece.
Right. Giolito starts the first. Kopech goes with the second.
He does. And I have to say that it's been a nice little unexpected surprise to have these Michael Kopech starts pop up every now and again, like a nice little treat for White Sox fans. Like, hey, your season's going great, but oh, by the way, things are going to be even better in a few years when Michael Kopech actually enters the rotation on a normal basis. So that will be a fun thing on tap for tonight. And the man who will set the scene for you is Connor McKnight. You hear him for every pre- and post-game show. And occasionally, you also hear him doing some play-by-play when Len Casper has television duties. But, Yurko, more importantly,
yes,
we hear Connor do the
Thursdays
segment that is sweeping the nation. Everybody yes is a huge fan.
At 11:30, Thursdays.
McKnight at the movies. That is the huge... That is the huge
success,
segment
kid
that everybody seems to love right now. Connor, how do you feel about this overwhelming success that you're having on the Carmen and Yurko show?
Fantastic. You know, this is the this is what you dream of, right? I mean, you sign on with a new company, you come into a new place, you want to be accepted as a coworker, as a friend, but most of all, you want to have a hit segment that's based around doing play-by-play on classic cinema. That's the dream. I mean, that's just the dream.
It pays well, doesn't it?
And the next level, yeah, the next level on the podcast is you describing adult films.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yes.
I've been working out the lexicon for different actions, different setups, all that kind of stuff. I wish there were more scenes that started without a pizza guy. You know, it's a little
well, there's always the one
repetitive,
with,
I guess,
with the plumber. You know, it always happens that way. I can't wait till you do the apple pie scene from American Pie.
You know, so here's the behind the curtain, right? Just lift the screen a little bit. I 3 weeks in or something, I was having trouble thinking of a scene to do. I was like, I'm not really sure, you know, exactly where I want to go. So I emailed Randy and I emailed Jeff and I was like, hey guys, you know, any suggestions? You know, that'd be great. I'm just kind of running into a roadblock here. And both of them immediately sent back that scene in the email, and I was like, wow, that is aggressive. That is a real
a young man straddling a pie.
We just wanted to know what you were dealing with, Connor.
Could be apple, could be strudel, not entirely sure. Oh, that's apple. Oh yeah, no, it's apple. It's everywhere now. Yeah, it's gonna be weird.
Should we continue on with this line of questioning, Yurko? Could we get to the White Sox?
Let's get to the White Sox.
Right. I wasn't sure how far we wanted
team
to go.
They're the best team in baseball. Why not?
Yes. And so my premise, Connor, on May 14th, it is early. We all know that in a baseball season. But at this point, you'd be hard-pressed to find too many reasons to be upset if you're a White Sox fan. And I'm trying to remember the last time something lived up to the expectations the way these White Sox have to this point. Anything come to mind to you immediately?
You know, I think across town, you know, this 16 run, that mattered. You know, I know White Sox fans are loath to make comparisons, and they should be. You know, it's your crosstown rival. You don't have to. But getting paid to watch baseball like this, I think that matters. You know, 15 was a heck of a run for them. They got absolutely smoked by the Mets in four games in that NL Central, and then everybody thought, oh, there it is. Here we go. This is next. You know, a Dodgers team or two, the 2020 Dodgers, I think matters just a little bit in recent history. But I think what makes this White Sox team stand out so interestingly to me is that you lost Eloy Jimenez. You lost Luis Robert. It was a guy that could have won MVP and a guy that did win Gold Glove, respectively. And they are still one of the best offenses in baseball by several measures. The guy that you non-tendered and brought back has been your staff ace. And the guy who has, you know, in his last three starts, pitched incredibly well, maybe the best in his career, is the guy with all the prospect status. And the guy going in game one today, Lucas Giolito, who is your ace, is having the roughest go. And still, you would take him to start probably game one of the playoffs if you had to tomorrow. I think the White Sox still have, and Sox fans still have, a whole lot of trust in Lucas. They're doing it. They're paying off this promise in ways that we didn't expect, which makes it, for me, even more fun.
Yeah, I would agree completely with that assessment, Connor. Now, although the one point is, at what point, though, do you start to be concerned with the way Lucas Giolito is pitching? Because I think we all gave him a pass for the Patriots Day game against the Red Sox because it was an oddity. But and then you try and make it, you make the excuse, look, he was left out there a little too long in the game. Was it the Tigers where he, you know, 117 pitches or whatever it was?
Yeah, so, Nico Goodrum got him. I think that's right.
So, you know, you can kind of talk about it and say, and then he goes out and pitches ho-hum against the Royals. But what do you need to see from him where you actually, because I'm still a little concerned. I guess the changeup has not been as effective as it was early in the season and last year. And so I guess I'm wondering if the league has maybe caught up a little bit with his approach.
Yeah, I think the strategy against Lucas has changed to the point where he has to now change back. But if the question is, and it's kind of, you know, sitting on the changeup and maybe pouncing on one that stays up in the zone and doesn't have that dead fish fade on it, you know, kind of hitting the changeup that's got something hittable attached to it. But I don't worry about Lucas until August. Yeah, mm-hmm. I really don't. And the reason I wouldn't say that about other guys, I would say that about Lucas, is because Lucas has found the depths of Major League Baseball. He has been the worst starter in the American League and rebuilt himself from that into the guy we saw in 2019, the guy we saw in 2020. And that matters to me when I'm evaluating a pitcher. That matters to me when I'm looking at a guy's skill set, because if he has understood already what it is to kind of rebuild himself, you know, go completely, you know, bionic man all over the place, better, faster, stronger, we have the technology, he can do it again. A guy who has that kind of performance over the last 2 years doesn't just evaporate. If this is a season where he has to bounce around and work on things and maybe work that slider in or discover that curveball again, that's okay. Because I think I've been proven that, or it's been proven to me that Lucas and Ethan Katz and the rest of the Sox pitching infrastructure has the ability to reset him to a certain degree. I don't really worry about Lucas, truly, especially with the way everybody else is pitching at this point.
Now, the name of the game is always pitching, and when they're pitching as well as the White Sox are right now, you're going to win a lot of baseball games. But I'll also say, looking at the lineup with all the injuries, without Eloy and without Luis Robert in there, it certainly is not as daunting. And then when you take your, you know, you give your mean Mercedes a day off from time to time because you want to get other players in the lineup, maybe you want to get Jose Abreu off his feet, all of a sudden, when you look at a lineup that maybe has, you know, Billy Hamilton, Leury García, you know, you toss in, you know, a Danny Mendick.
It's a juggernaut.
You know, and Jake Lamb. How long can the White Sox continue to get away with the lack of impact bats in the lineup, do you think? Or are you not concerned because of the way they're pitching? Do you think, you know what, no concerns, because as long, I guess you got the best run differential in baseball, so until something actually happens, you can't really make any judgments.
Well, I think the Cleveland Indians have shown you over the last couple of years that if you pitch well and play defense, you can keep yourself in it, bottom line, right? But pitching is pitching, and pitching can get hurt in this game. That's why every team walks into spring training and goes, yes, I would like 7 or 8 more healthy arms to just throw 95. I don't necessarily care if they know where the strike zone is. I just need them. I want the arms. I expect that the White Sox are still in a mode where they'd like to add offensively. You know, you mentioned the guys that are producing right now, and you know, Danny Mendick getting called up, all those kind of depth moves. Those are important, and it's important to have that depth. But offense is crucial. You know, I mean, you got to have guys who are dangerous in at-bats. You've got to have guys who can, you know, be foundations for you. And the reality is that Eloy and Robert are not likely to come back for a while. And even with them there, the White Sox would be looking to add if they were on top of or at the top of, near the top of the division. I don't think that should change just because you've gotten, you know, some solid at-bats. And you have gotten some solid at-bats from Billy Hamilton over the last couple of days. Or just because you've gotten, you know, kind of some bounce back stuff from Leury García, or because Yermín Mercedes has shown himself to be a player, you can still go at. You know, I think the White Sox, I think anybody at the top of the division feeling the injuries that the Sox have had, or injuries like the Sox have had, would go add somebody. I think it's okay to feel good about where the Sox are and know and expect that there's probably something coming on the way as well.
In the 80s, Bruce Sutter would give you that 6-out save, maybe even that 9-out save every once in a while. This is 2021. How many 5-out saves can you expect out of Liam Hendricks during this year? And should you be somewhat cautious with doing that too many times?
If you ask Liam, 95 more 5-out saves, right? I mean,
right.
He just wants to go out there and pitch and do it. You know, they have been hesitant to throw him out there for long outings, outs-wise or innings-wise, I guess. They have not been hesitant to leave him out there for a good number of pitches. Liam Hendricks is a tough guy for me to know because I, you know, like a lot of people, when he was on the A's and, you know, they threw him for 50-something pitches and then said, oh, we're going to bring him back for Game 3, I thought, great, bring him back for Game 3. The White Sox will beat the hell out of him in the 7th and the 8th inning, put up a couple of runs, and that's a series win for the White Sox. They get to move on in advance. I was wrong. Liam Hendricks is that kind of guy. He can go that deep. I would like to see him pitch more often. I would like to see him used a little bit in maybe some different and more earlier spots when the leverage dictates it. But the way this White Sox bullpen is kind of set up, you've got guys who are pitching really well and can handle that in Bummer and Crochet. And, you know, Cody Hoyer needs to figure some things out, I guess, a little bit. But you should be able to trust him later on as well. I'm for throwing Liam Hendricks more often. I get, and it's really convenient, too, for Tony La Russa that he's got other guys that can cover up some of those spots as well.
This is going to be a difficult question, Connor, but who are you more bullish on, as we get you out of here, who are you more bullish on as a contributor for the White Sox in their lineup throughout the remainder of the season? Would it be someone like Yermín Mercedes or Andrew Vaughn, who seems to have come around a bit at the plate lately?
Yeah, I think...
bigger impact.
I guess it would probably be Vaughn, only because the upshot for him should be higher, right? I mean, he was regarded across baseball as a top-tier, can't-miss, advanced bat out of college. You know, it's tough for me to throw that aside only because it took him 20-something games to hit a first home run. His plate appearances are disciplined. And only in, you know, some really tough at-bats does he get outside himself and swing at stuff. It's Shane Bieber, right? I mean, Shane Bieber got him. He aced him. I think Yermín can be a solid contributor throughout. I love the fact that he has a two-strike approach and knows what to do with the baseball. The pinch hit yesterday was, I mean, that's pro-level stuff. But I guess if you're really asking, like, okay, who's that impact guy, the guy that could step up to a point where your trade target once you get to the deadline doesn't have to be a top-tier guy, maybe it's more of a middle-tier guy on the market, I guess it would have to be Vaughn's contributions that allow you to set the sights just a little bit differently at the deadline, if that's what we're talking about long-term.
Hey, Connor, I got a suggestion for you, by the way. This is Randy.
Hey, Randy.
For McKnight at the Movies,
yeah.
Can we please get the Warriors in at some point over the next couple months?
Because he doesn't know what the Warriors is.
He knows what the Warriors is.
I do know what the war. I've never seen it, but I know the whole come out to play thing and how that was, you know, not scripted and whatnot. I know its place in movie lore. I haven't watched it yet, and I feel like I should probably sit down and watch the film get the whole piece de resistance of it into my body before I do the play-by-play.
I would feel cheap
if I didn't.
Okay.
Yes. Work watching the Warriors in between all your play-by-play duties and pre- and post-game before the baseball season ends,
Connor.
Oh, we
got a little
time
in between game one and game two.
Yeah.
You
got to
sit down with Len and DJ and watch the
Kill
Warriors.
Some time. By the way, Connor, what were you born? 86, 87?
85.
Yeah. Good year for the Bears. The Warriors released in 1979, so
forgive him.
But,
you know, I've seen, like, Jaws and Star Wars and stuff, right? Like,
sure.
I get it.
Other classics like the Warriors. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
No doubt about it. All right, it's Connor McKnight. Check him out on the pregame starting at 1:30 today here on ESP 1000. Thanks, Connor.
See you, fellas.
All right, Connor.
You love the Warriors, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, big fan of the Warriors.
JR, I know JR liked it.
Huge fan.
Listen, I watched it several times. I enjoy it. I just, you know, sometimes you have to understand the age gap that happens. And, you know, when you're born, you know, 7 years after a film is made, sometimes they kind of fall through the cracks.
Not only that, but those guys in the Yankees uniforms, they could run forever.
And wasn't
Bat Furies, man? They were lethal.
I'm trying to remember too. Wasn't there like a roller skate gang or something?
Yeah.
They're
in the subway.
I haven't seen it in probably 20 years.
And then do you guys know who the lady was that would come on to give the updates on the radio? Hey, you big boppers out there.
She passed away recently, right?
She was the Carmen Sandiego.
Yes.
Where in the world was Carmen Sandiego? She was the lady that was on that.
Well, Carmen is in New Orleans.
Hey, you big boppers out there. We failed and, you know, wherever they were at. Yeah. It's good stuff.
Interesting movie. Have to go back for a rewatch and check that one out.
Well, it's on every once in a while on, you know, the Showtimes. You can
find it
on the Skinamax.
All right. You're familiar with load management?
That I am.
You are, Yurko.
You bet I am.
Is it coming to the NFL? We'll discuss next.